So, how do you like your French fries?
Hot.
Hey, for people when they do drive through and they do that sort of thing, French fries a big hit. You like French fries? Yes, they're good. Who likes French fries? Wonderful. That's awesome. You know, I have some French fries here. Bought them a while back. They're not really doing all that good yet. Wait, I'm sure there's a good one in here somewhere. I know there is. Wow. Tell you. The only thing I can say is they're still greasy. And they, how they taste. Oh, actually, that is not good. What? Now, I know what we could do. The smart of you would say, we could just put this in the oven. Right? We could put it in the oven. It'll be just like drive-thru at McDonald's, right? What's wrong with French fries that they have a shelf life like a minus 5 minutes? You know, when we go to McDonald's, we sit down, or anywhere, you know, Arby's, you go up to Five Guys, you eat anywhere, and French fries are on the menu. You got to eat them right away. You know, the very first French fry in the United States was back in 1802. Anybody hear that? You don't remember this. Let me tell you this. You learn wonderful things at Cold Spring Church. Who was president back in 1802? Thomas Jefferson, thank you. I have a fact checker here. He gets paid big dollars in order to fact check the pastor. That's right, 1802, Thomas Jefferson's in the White House. You know what he says one day? He says, I want some French fries. He said this, I can't believe it. I know, it's one of these little known facts of history. Again, only at Cold Spring Church. But Thomas Jefferson, he knew all about French fries because Thomas Jefferson was an ambassador to where? And so he didn't learn about Mozambique fries. He didn't learn about Peking duck. He didn't come back with any thrills, you know, from Brazil. No, he knew all about French food. And the thing he missed most from France, and I'm sure there's little else that he would have missed, it was the French fry. And as they described it back then, they were described in a very technical way as he told his chef. He says they have to be cut, thinly cut, raw potatoes that are then deep fried. This is a few years before McDonald's. And so Thomas Jefferson, the first time French fries were sold in an official way was in the United States back in 1802 in the White House, and it became a favorite. Well, the French fry craze didn't quite catch on back then. I guess it never captured anybody else's attention, for as first of all, it takes some preparation, right? To take a raw potato, to slice it thinly, and then to deep fry it. It wasn't exactly on everybody's kitchen use of utensils and things and kitchen equipment be able to deep fry things easily. And so it just lied dormant until a few years later. And those few years later were actually in the 1930s and 40s with the invention of the what? The drive-in. You can thank your automobile for the popularity of French fries, because restaurants, what people found they were doing, they go to a normal restaurant, you know, they'd have silverware and a plate, they'd have a glass cup and all of that, and when people weren't able to finish their meal or they wanted to take it with them, people were actually absconding with the cutlery. They were taking the physical plates, they were taking the actual place mat and the glass and all the metal silverware. They were taking this stuff home in order to take out food. And you know, the restaurant people, they didn't like this so much. So what the restaurant people decided to do was just to forbid takeout food. But somebody had the idea that if we put roller skates on servers, people can pull up in their car and we can get this food to them and we won't use metal. We will have plastic silverware. We will have napkins that can fold, not those cloth things. And we can actually serve food hot right to the car. Anybody have any great drive-in memories? You remember those, yes? Yeah, it's sort of like going to Sonic, but just, you know, 55 years earlier. And so you can go to these kind of restaurants and enjoy your food piping hot because they bring it right out of the kitchen to your car. You know, Melissa and I, at least for me, it was the first time we went to a Sonic. And we knew it was a drive-in, right? Not a drive-through, it was a drive-in. And so we sat there and didn't really know what to do. And so we had the big idea, well, I guess we go in here. They don't serve to the car. And so we walk right into the Sonic, right in the middle of their kitchen, to which all the people in the back that were preparing food said, what are you doing here? Then you've got to wait in your car for the food. Well, we've been waiting there, and no one's really come out yet. Just wondering, can we eat inside? No, this is a drive-in. And so you get it finally. You know, I'm a little slow. But French fries piping hot were great. And then, of course, the advent of the drive, not the drive-in, but the drive-through in the 40s and 50s, is really where French fries became the number one way of people eating potatoes in the United States. And the United States is the number 10 around the world of favorite, where potatoes are a favorite anyway. It's really low on the list. But French fries are the top of the list for eating potatoes in the United States. And in 1994, it was the first year that companies like McDonald's realized that the sale of French fries at the drive-through window exceeded sales of French fries inside their restaurant. Imagine that. All the French fries sold, most of them go across the window into a car. But then by the time people get home, the French fries look mostly like this. And so of late, last couple years, there's been a lot of research going on of how do we keep French fries fresh for more than like 6 minutes. They can't be reheated and really taste well. And so you've got to come up with a way. They use different oils. They use different coatings. They cut their potatoes differently. They raise different kinds of hybrid potatoes that might be able to keep that crispy, wonderful crust on the outside and keep it nice and warm and moist on the inside. That's the secret of a well-made French fry. And even today, even though McDonald's says you can order your food by Grubhub or Uber Eats, sometimes if you live far away from these drivers, even now when you get the French fries, they're going to be soggy and awful. So the challenge for drive-through restaurants everywhere, where we can buy delivery now, not just drive-through, we can do delivery for almost everything. Whether it's groceries at the Acme or even your favorite restaurant, it's those piping hot foods that are struggling with finding a market because the food arrives and tastes just awful. A hoagie 10 minutes late tastes good. French fries 10 minutes late taste awful. You know, the Apostle Peter, when he stood in front of that crowd that day, that we overheard some of his words that he shared with them. One of the things that occurs just throughout his sermon, his message, his story, was that this is happening right now. That Jesus, the story about Jesus was so fresh, it was like you could see the steam coming off the fries with Jesus. You could see the energy and the commitment, how Jesus walked among us. And one of the interesting things that Peter says is that he was born in Nazareth, and he commanded us to preach, and this is the word evangelion, evangel, where we get the word good news. We get a word like evangelism as well. Or evangelist is someone who tells good news. You know, the largest marketing companies today, you'll find you could meet somebody, they hand you a business card, and it could very well say, not CEO, not CTO, but it could say evangelist. Because business has adopted the cool role of the person responsible for getting the word out, for sharing the good news about a product or a service. And so Peter is sharing with the people that Jesus commanded us all to be evangelists, or better, someone who is sharing the experience with other people. He says, and not just to all the people, or it's to everybody, not just to the God's faithful, that is just the Israel or those who are religious or those who go to church every week or show up at temple all the time. No, this is news that he says, Jesus commanded us to share, to preach with the people and testify that Jesus is the one who is ordained by God to sit in judgment over the living and the dead, that all the prophets testify about him, and everyone who believes in him gets something. Not soggy fries. Not something old, but something relevant and present and powerful. They get forgiveness of sins. You know, one of the interesting things about sin and when we deal with our own life and our own shortcomings And you might be saying, like I could say, don't get me started because the list is long. We'll be sitting here for a while. That our shortcomings, one of the things that's so profound is that it may take a long time for us to rehearse all the things that we have made missteps. It could be things done or things not done, opportunities lost, relationships. It could be opportunities at work. It could be things in the neighborhood that these things could have been all shareables of a positive way, but they're not, and they weigh us down. And it's like the runner who has this huge, tremendous weight on their back. They can't make any progress toward those plans that God has for us in the future because they keep getting weighed down by their own failures, their own short-sightedness, their own pain of sin and their own pain of bad decisions and all that stuff. And boy, I tell you, it can just weigh you down. And this is why what Peter said is so important. He said, Jesus actually sent us out here to share the good news. Well, what was the good news? It wasn't just the facts about Jesus, the fact that he was born in Nazareth. He knows what it's like to be born on the other side of the tracks. He knows what it's like to be an immigrant. He knows what it's like to be a migrant. He knows what it's like to be treated miserably because of where you've come from, or even treated miserably because of your race or ethnicity or your language. Jesus knows all of that. He's experienced all of that on our behalf. And this kind of thing that Jesus has experienced, these are facts about Jesus. But what is the shareable thing? The shareable thing is that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. I mean, think about how startling that message was to the crowd that was there that day. Most of them are probably struggling over one of the first things he said. He said, just so you know, I truly understand now that God shows no partiality. God has no favorites. Do you have any favorites in your family? Were you the sibling that mom and dad really loved? Huh? Are you the one who maybe thought you were the favored child in the family? You don't have to raise your hand. Or how about the one who was neglected? How about the last one born? Oh, I saw some hands go up. Yeah, that's right. Because we all know what that's like when favoritism happens. But God has no favorites. We may mistake and look in the Old Testament and say, well, God just favored Israel over everyone else. Well, yes, as a nation, Israel was given not just special treatment. They were given a special message. They were given special information. God had a relationship with them that was unlike the relationship that God had with other nations. He gave them the inside track. He brought them behind the curtain. God told them things that no one else knew. And as soon as he told them all the things that we can read about in the Old Testament today, the First Testament, as soon as he told them all that, he said, now go share it with other people. And most of the history in the Jewish people that we read about in the scriptures was, why would I share this with them? We're the favorites. Well, why would I share it with the nation of Nineveh who just slaughtered so many villages? Why would I share it with my enemies? Who wants them to be redeemed and forgiven? And so the Jewish people maybe acted sometimes like we do. It's like, well, we know the good news. Isn't that enough? And it took me a long time to find it too. So I'm just not going to just freely get involved with other people and share with them the good news. But God told the people of Israel, he says, you've got to get out and share the good news. And so this crowd is listening to Peter. All those people who thought they were God's favorites, they learned that day from Peter, who was a Jew. They learned that day, guess what, guys and gals? We're not the only favored people. That in every nation, anyone who worships God. Now, our text says fears God. That doesn't mean that God's like a boogeyman that we should like cower in fear behind the pew and so that, you know, when he walks in. That word is actually a word for reverence. It's a word of a right relationship with God, who is our creator. Because we know, as Presbyterians especially, that in our Constitution, it says of the Westminster Catechism, says, what's the chief purpose of men and women? Anyone know what it is? To enjoy God, to love God, and to enjoy him forever. There's no fear in that. That there's, oh my gosh, God, I'm not going to church. No way, I'll just get judged. No, I'm not. Why would I do that? Why would I want to feel bad? I feel bad enough as it is. Why would I go to church? I'll just feel worse. That's not true at Cold Spring Church. At least I hope it's not true at Cold Spring Church. And so Peter is telling them, it doesn't matter your ethnicity, your language, or what's on your passport. What's really important is that all the prophets testify about Jesus, that everyone, anyone who believes in him has forgiveness of sins. And that means that our sins, the things that weigh us down, the things we try to cope with and deal with every day to try to resolve or address in some other way, that Jesus says, I'm wiping the slate clean so that I can free you up for moving forward. And that's why every week it may feel repetitive. Every week we have a confession of sins. We have an affirmation of faith. Because every week we make mistakes. Because God is involved with our life not just once a week or not just when we were young or not just in the future, that God's involved with us every day and he has put us here to share the good news with others, and we have shareables at Cold Spring Church. One of the passages that in our scripture readings today, you know, every week there's five readings. There's usually at least a psalm, and there's an Old Testament reading, and there's a New Testament reading, and there's a gospel lesson. Well, in our passage today that Barbara read for us, it says that God has sent people out so that the coastlands may know the truth. He's speaking right to Cape May. That we are the coastlands. And God has put us in this place to be a sharing people. When I asked you at the beginning of this time, I asked, what are some things that you remember most recently sharing, and how did you feel after doing that? Anybody want to share something that came to mind? Who has shared something recently? Someone else. You could say, I shared that. Coat, jacket, sugar. Anybody? Yes. Bake cookies, nice. All right, good. If a lot of people come up and say, how do you after worship today? They just might be because of that. Anybody else have something? What have we shared? I know you guys share. Who has something? Larry.
John Coat Church.
Nice. Well, that's okay. We're in a food track here. No. That sounds really good. Also, likewise, after worship today, just people, like a magnet right there. Bob, you're going to say something? You shared some advice. Nice. That's what I'm talking about. Anybody else have something? What? Anybody over here have something? Yeah, Dale.
Time with friends.
Time with friends is a wonderful way to share. Yes, nice. Anybody else? Shareable. Yes.
Share your love.
Share love. Yes. Good one, Chris. Nice. Thank you. Well, you get the idea. That if we kept all the things that God has given us to ourselves, first of all, they would be about as stale as these French fries. You know, God has blessed us, if you will, with access to God every day that never grows old. That God doesn't appear to us on roller skates. That we don't have to do the drive-through in order to find out what God expects of us or how God is blessing us. That every single day, it's as if, and he is, God is with us in our life offering fresh blessings. If you have to reach too far in the past to answer this question, when is the last time you felt like you and God were really listening to one another? You felt that God was hearing you, or perhaps that you are listening to God. And if we have to reach too far back, we've got to work harder. That this brave new year, as we're using for our theme this year, is an opportunity for us is just to recalibrate our experience with God, because what God has for us is so piping fresh that our job is to get it out into the community just as quickly and as completely as possible. That when God blesses us with something, we can't just put it in a pew rack. We can't keep it in the heritage room. We've got to find ways of getting it out there. And so that's why every week this congregation is sent out, and wherever you go, you're asked to share your experience. It could be a word, it could be a thought, it could be a look, it could be a gesture of kindness, it could be something tangible like chocolate-covered cherries. But whatever it is, God has put you here to share it. And Peter shocked the crowd, saying that everyone gets access to this. Not just Presbyterians, not just people you like, but people that are in our lives, communities that we're within, and the influence that we can have. Thank you in advance for being a sharing people, a generous people. And I can't wait to see what God has in store for us this year as we think of sharing again God's current, relevant, real-time, now blessings. And we've had 306 years to get ready for this moment. Let us pray. Lord, thank you that you don't give us things that are stale. Things if only we responded more quickly might have been good. Insights that we have learned that by the time we get around to processing it, bringing it into our own life, it's starting to feel a little old, and then by the time we meet someone that could really use it, well, it's just lost some of its savor. Lord, remind us today that you're a real-time Jesus, that you're not dealing with us in the past except to say, you are forgiven. I'm lightening your load so that you can move forward. And Lord, thank you for the nourishment you give to us as a congregation and individually. And I thank you for the way that everyone involved at Cold Spring Church shares enthusiastically and generously. Just pause for a moment. Put yourself into that crowd that Peter was sharing with that day. And what are you going to take home? What has God shared with you?